How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every weekend, Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sunday afternoons, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, the list goes on and on, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com, TuneInRadio.com, iHeartRadio.com. The most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And my God, do we got stuff to talk about this weekend. Former WWE champion CM Punk. Maybe you've heard his name of late. We've been talking about him for weeks now. His fallout with WWE. His subsequent interviews about all of the terrible things that happened to him in WWE. His staph infection. His 13 concussions. His broken down body. Left the company. Got a settlement, everything he wanted and more, he said. You've all been calling about him for weeks. Well, here we are on another Sunday afternoon, and you're probably all going to be calling about him again, because it was announced last night at UFC 181 that Phil CM Punk Brooks has signed with UFC, where he will be fighting. That's right. Just yesterday on this show, some of you might recall, somebody called to ask my thoughts on CM Punk signing to fight in UFC. And I blew off the idea. Crazy, I thought. This man is 36 years old. He's got no legitimate athletic background. He's trained in some jiu-jitsu and I guess Kenpo, but talking starting at 36 years old. Could he even get licensed to fight anybody in the UFC? Far more likely, I said, that CM Punk will do a Metamorphosis grappling event. Or maybe he will sign with UFC, but he'll sign as an announcer. Oh no, everybody. His fighting career starts in 2015. We're going to talk about that. Plus, tonight it is the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Tons of stuff to get into today. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com, here every Saturday and Sunday. 10 a.m. Pacific, Saturday is 1 Eastern, as well as 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern on Sundays. Wrestling Observer Weekends here on Sports Byline USA. We've got a lot to talk about here today. We're going to take your phone calls after the next break. So for those of you calling right now, stand by. Try again at about 20 after. Mike and I have got some stuff we got to talk about today. Not the least of which is Mr. CM Punk, who I believe in his most recent podcast said that he hated being called Phil. Well, he's going to be Phil from now on. He's Phil CM Punk Brooks, UFC fighter, Mike. What do you think about that?
16 days now of CM Punk in the news. I tell you, I don't know if I would have said you had 13 concussions before this. I wouldn't have said that I didn't like to be called Phil. Or Kevin Ioli, the first or second question, you know, said Phil. He knows him by Punk. He could have said Punk, but he said Phil. But, I guess being called Phil won't be too bad considering the attention he's going to get for what could be a fight in the UFC, although it's completely within the realm of possibility that CM Punk can't even make it through a whole camp. I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can't. We don't know anything about CM Punk. We know he trains in jiu-jitsu with Henner Gracie?
Henner Gracie, down there at the Gracie Academy.
He's told us he does Kenpo Karate. I remember Perry Saturn was not impressed when he found out Glacier did Kenpo Karate and just had a simple sidekick. Maybe Punk's got a wicked sidekick he can bring in there. I don't know. If you like speculation and you like fantasy booking, this is going to be great. If taking this from a pure sporting thing, hey, he's a lucky guy. You know, not many guys would get the opportunity to have their first fight in the UFC, but basically this is just going to be a good deal of publicity for the UFC. This is no savior to them or anything like that. As far as turning things around, if they want to do things and spice things up and they see what Bellator has done with Scott Coker there, hey, I'm all for, you know, some flashy things in the UFC. I'm for more aesthetic things. I'm for even having CM Punk around there doing something. I just would have never thought it was going to be fighting. And I, frankly, I'll believe it when it actually happens, but there's a lot that has got to happen before this, including whether CM Punk is even good enough to even get that far. I mean, anybody, I guess, can have a fight on a UFC show, but I don't think anybody's...
Stop right there. That's exactly where I have got to stop you. My wife doesn't know really anything about anything. I mean, she knows enough because she is around when I watch UFC and when I watch WWE, but she's not like a big fan. Every now and then I'll tell her something that happened, but she doesn't follow it closely or anything like that. And I was talking to her today because obviously that's all that's been going on the last 24 hours, all of this news. And of course, a lot of my friends are her friends. And so when she goes on Facebook, her timeline's got all this stuff about CM Punk. So she knows that he signed with UFC. And I was bringing it up today and she said, "Isn't this kind of making a mockery of the UFC? This is somebody that doesn't even follow this at all. Not a hardcore fan, nothing. Just a person who heard this story." And I said, "A mockery of it." And she said, "Isn't UFC supposed to be like the most elite fighters in the world? And now if you're famous, you can just get a UFC fight?" And this is what a lot of... She is far from the only person who has brought this up over the last 24 hours. And the reality is, it's going to be one fight. Maybe if he fights more than once, it'll be maybe two fights a year. Out of 45 events, out of 450 fights, maybe CM Punk will have two of them. It's not the end of the world, but it is a good point. Isn't this supposed to be about elite fighters? And I guess the question to you, Mike, is if it is not supposed to be about elite fighters, or if it is, but every now and then, if you've got a famous guy and he decides he wants to fight, you throw him in against somebody with a 0-0 record. The big question then is, all right, let's talk about business. Is this fight going to do 750,000 buys, his debut? Or will it do 1 million buys? What do you think, Mike?
I just remember doing the podcast eons ago where people would, this is like 2004, the hardcore MMA fans hated the thought of you know, UFC was, this is around before the Spike deal, and it was, above all of these things that boxing would do, let alone pro wrestling, but like, look what happened to boxing. I always thought, you know what? Again, you have to promote these things the same way. You do. At their core, they're very simple things to promote, and you need to get eyeballs on them. And sometimes you have to do things that you wouldn't expect to do. And I don't think the UFC would have done this a couple years ago. They are doing it now, and they need to fill a lot of time on a lot of shows, and it's not the end of the world if he's on there. And hey, when you have a big-name guy or a special thing, I guess you could have a make a case for it. I don't know. It will it do 750,000 buys? No. Will it bring eyeballs over from Punk and wrestling the same way Lesnar did? Yes. Will it do as much? I don't think so, because Brock Lesnar was a different aura, and with his amateur background and his experience there. To me, it was a completely different story, especially after, his toughness in the NFL. I mean, at least getting to be one of the last cuts with Minnesota, even though he hadn't played since high school. To me, the whole aura around that was different. This, if you're going to have it, I guess you could do it. Chicago's had 2 years of Fox shows in January. They have a spot open in June for the next one, or I guess it would be two after, because we have one coming up, and I guess there's one in April, but there's going to be one next June, and you could have that in Chicago. There's two pay-per-views around there. You have Las Vegas, which is usually a loaded show anyway. You can have it on there, but to me, like I talked about yesterday, I'm all for the UFC having like an exhibition wing sort of thing. I'd love to see like jiu-jitsu competitions on the weekend the UFC's in town, or a exhibition by, a wrestler or something like that, kind of a training thing / media day sort of thing where people can come and see what these guys have to go through. And I think Punk would be perfect for somebody like that. And again, you can build a show around it. There's all the promotional reasons why this is a good idea. It's hard for me to care a lot about it right now, just because I want to see him make it through a camp. If he's granted, he may have been.
Hold on. Before we get into the camp, we can talk about the camp and the injuries in a second. But first off, when people, as you said, it's not the end of the world. I don't really care all that much, but I will play devil's advocate to those that are very upset about this. When you look at the list of guys who have gotten a fight, and maybe they are undeserving, I don't know what term you want to use, but everybody was ranting about Brock Lesnar. But you know what? Brock Lesnar was an NCAA. He was an amazing wrestler. He was a physical powerhouse. He was a winner, and he became a champion. Kimbo Slice, you know what? Kimbo Slice was getting in fights on YouTube. He was getting in real fights. They were ugly. They were horrible, but he got in real fights. He was a dude who got in fights. Herschel Walker was not a fighter. He had no martial arts background, but you know what? He was a real, legit, serious, some would say a once-in-a-lifetime athlete. And even Dave Bautista, who is the closest to CM Punk, if you want to make these sorts of comparisons, at least in this country, he never fought in a UFC. There is no comparison that you can make to CM Punk walking in off the street as a former pro wrestler with no other athletic experience and getting a fight in the UFC. And I could see how this would make people very, very upset. My biggest problem, as you were beginning to talk about, is here's a guy who's got he had his ribs crushed by the Ryback. He has bad knees. He had a terrible staph infection. He claimed 13 concussions. Should a man like this really be starting this career at age 36? I don't think so.
Well, and we'll get into it after the break, too. Another thing with the devil's advocate part of those fans are they can't be Pride fans then. You can't have it both ways because, you know, Punk in the scrum said he was a Pride guy and he'd take that as a badge of honor. And this is exactly what happened in Pride on those great shows. And the earth didn't come to a stop, although they were terrible to watch sometimes.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. We'll talk about this more when we come back. Don't forget Ring of Honor today. We'll be talking about that as well. And your phone calls, 855-478-4478. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, about to go to the phones. But during the break, Mike was recalling an incident where CM Punk got into a battle. I had forgotten the details, but upon hearing them, now I want to see a rematch on pay-per-view. Tell us what happened, Mike.
Teddy Hart and CM Punk got into a fight at the White Trash Cafe in Nashville, Tennessee, back in 2003, where Punk was down there, I believe, working with Raven and Julio De Niro as a kind of a flock type of thing. And he and Teddy Hart got into a little bit of a scuffle. Some people say that Teddy got the best of it. I guess, you know, obviously others would say Punk did too. Much like it always is in pro wrestling, the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. But CM Punk was very upset because I guess a couple months earlier, Teddy Hart wrestled in Ring of Honor and decided to, on his own, do a bunch of moonsaults and kind of have a Brian Pillman type of thing. Where
that
he just
doesn't
kind of,
sound like Teddy Hart.
Of course not. No, and I think if I'm not mistaken, afterward, he blamed it on the concussions as well.
That's
that
right.
He was not just working and being a complete jackass, which Teddy Hart would never do, but it was actually the concussions talking.
Crazy. And who broke it up?
Sabu.
That's the
always
best part the of the
voice
story.
Of reason and a calm-headed man.
Well, we know that Hunter can't walk Punk to the cage, so maybe Sabu could get in there and walk him and hold up his flag next to Colt Cabana.
as long as everyone's wearing Reebok.
Yes, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
You're back in San Antonio, Ed, after your exciting weekend.
Whirlwind.
A whirlwind weekend is correct.
Actually, it was only 24 hours. But real quick, before I get into my
That's
main
the
topic,
whirlwind part forgot, of the weekend, Ed.
Yeah. You forgot about one thing. You forgot Ludwig Borga went from the WWF to the UFC.
Again, a little bit different because he had a background.
Did Tony Halmy fight in UFC?
Yes, he got his ass kicked.
Was it UFC? Okay. Well, you're right, Ed. Good job.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I did go to the Shine show, and I would like to run down the card or the results of the card with a few little notes if I could here. And they
could
started
you?
Off with...
we'll see how it goes. Let's get moving.
Okay. They started off with a confrontation between Eva Leif and Mia Yim. She's upset about losing the title and wants a rematch. And then they went to the opener, which was Eva Leif against Amanda Rodriguez, and she pretty much just squashed and killed her. and it looks like she's making a slow heel turn because she reluctantly went back and helped Amanda up and shook her hand. But you can kind of tell something's going on with her.
Ed, let's jump to after intermission. How about that? So we can keep this an exciting report, a whirlwind of a report.
Well, my very good friend, old Blue Pants herself, Leva Bates, came out in an awesome Gamera of Guardians of the Galaxy outfit. But sadly, she lost to the Vanessa Craven, who is like the Andre the Giant of women's wrestlers. My other dear friend, Soul Darling, was in a tag match with Heidi Lovelace, and they lost to Jamin Jameson and Marty Bell and with SoCal Val. So SoCal Val is awesome ringside, by the way. And Heidi Lace looked like she could barely walk Friday night, but somehow still won the Young Lions Championship last night in Chicago. And in the main event, Mia Yim defeated Nevaeh. Well, actually, it was a disqualification, I'm sorry, and Nevaeh won by disqualification. And then there was a big smoz because Eva Leeds came out, got involved. And I think they're building to a three-way between Mia Yim, Nevaeh, and Eva Leeds. But it was a very, very awesome show. And one of the big news basically from the show is Amber O'Neill, who is married to Doc Gallus of the Bullet Club, came out and attacked her opponent right at the beginning and was about to use a chair and destroy her, and won. TNA Brittany, or otherwise known as Santana Garrett, jumped in the ring and stopped her from killing her. They got into a argument, and the match was booked for later tonight. And yes, Santana Garnett, after her contract expired from TNA, made her debut in Shine and wrestled Amber O'Neill, who's claiming she's a part of the Bullet Club since she is married to him. And that was a big surprise. I got to talk to her a little bit after the show and asked her about what was going on with TNA. And she didn't say anything directly. She just said everything's up in the air, but there's still a chance she could be back.
Up in the air.
She's just waiting to find out about everything that's going to happen when they get back on TV.
Did you introduce yourself to her and say that you had some sort of press credentials from Wrestling Observer?
Did you mention Vinny's name and what a huge fan he is of her performances on Impact?
Yeah, I asked if she knew about the website, and she said, kinda, and I just said, well, they do a podcast, and one of the guys, he is your favorite wrestler. He puts you over all the time, and she was very happy and excited to hear that, and was asking me if I could make her an MP3 so she could listen to it.
Oh, man.
And, she was very
Please
nice.
Do, Ed.
She was very nice. I also saw Roderick. Roderick was at the show, and he's very excited for tonight.
Strong?
And I have a...
Yeah.
Yeah, Roderick Strong, he's very excited for tonight, and I feel very bad for Adam Page. I think he's going to get the hell beat out of him. And we also saw legendary tag team wrestler B. Brian Blair of the Killer Bees. He was the very first person we ran into when we walked in the door.
Wow,
and, that was pretty cool.
How about
and,
that?
Yeah, the show was awesome, and all the girls, you know, they take time talking to everybody. I got to meet pretty much all the roster, and it was actually a very great birthday. And I was wrong, Brian. You weren't the only one who hasn't wished me a happy birthday. Some other jerk on the line hasn't wished me a happy birthday.
I thought you were going to say that none of your very close personal friends had wished you a happy birthday either. I'll bet you had 25 bucks that Santana Garnett, I believe you called her, did not wish you a happy birthday as well.
No, she wished me a happy birthday. SoCal Val wished me a happy birthday. Solo Darling, I'm kind of pissed off at the cameraman because he totally blew where Solo Darling saw me on the stage and blew me a kiss.
I thought you were going to be upset that he didn't say happy birthday to you, too.
I'll bet that cameraman didn't say happy birthday to Ed.
No, he didn't. I also got to meet Rob Naylor. He was doing the commentary, and he was an awesome dude. And the cameraman also pulled away right when Leva Bates was waving at me. But, yes, they did wish me happy birthday. They even gave me presents. And
oh, wow.
Probably one of the best nights of my life.
Are there any other names you would like to drop before we drop you, Ed?
Just that one guy from Las Vegas last week. Clearly, he's racist against Mexicans, and he needs to be a star.
Man. Well, Ed, I want to thank you very much for the call and the in-depth report on...
Happy birthday, Ed.
Oh, you got a happy birthday out of Mike. That's amazing. Listen, I will at least agree with one thing about Ed. It's huge news that Brittany is no longer with TNA. Sad news for one Sam Shaw. It was a highlight of his career, was hanging out with TNA Brittany, and now she's gone, so I guess we can only imagine what will become of his career without the love of his life, Brittany, being there by his side any longer.
Maybe he'll try to make moves on Rebel if she is still there. But, you know, Ed has had more than 13 concussions, all of them self-caused. Ed not fighting in the UFC, but
Punk not CM yet. Punk I'm is. Expecting him to call any week and announce that he's training to fight in the UFC. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Joshua from Virginia.
What's up, Josh?
I actually have two things. Did you guys know that WWE TLC is tonight at 8 o'clock?
I did not know that. Where did you get this information?
Front page of the WWE app.
Really? That is amazing.
WWE TLC tonight at 8. Yeah, they're terrible. But secondly,
straight out of WCW.
Those people that would actually see that and go and just order blindly, and they'll get to see Ring of Honor, and maybe it'll restore their faith in wrestling.
I would
bit.
Die if Ring of Honor got 20,000 buys, all because the WWE app screwed up. Maybe Joey Styles great. Took a payout from Delirious and put that on the app.
But anyways, Jason David Frank, most notably known as the Green Power Ranger, has challenged CM Punk to fight in UFC.
Really? He's
They're
not the only
the
one. I'm listen, anybody in the range of 170 to 185, I'm sure, is getting ready to challenge CM Punk. Surprised
well,
Ed didn't do it when he called in.
Amateur fights, so.
The Power Ranger is I don't want to say he's no joke, but he has fought MMA.
He does have experience, yeah.
He does have experience. That is correct. Who would win in a fight, by the way, CM Punk or the Power Ranger?
Well, the Power Ranger does have powers, so...
That is true. But Punk is a comic book writer, which trumps the comic book character, correct?
And he's straight edge, so...
And he's straight edge, that's right. Well, I want to thank you very much. I'm sure within about 5 minutes I'm going to get some sort of word from WWE about how the web geeks are idiots. I usually get those a couple of times a week from somebody in WWE. But there you go, everybody.
They did wish Phil Brooks a success in his future endeavors.
They did. They did wish Phil Brooks success in his future endeavors. They did not mention what the future endeavors were, but they did wish him those the best. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
What's up, Ryan?
Got a question about CM Punk. Last night...
Actually, hold on. I just got a text here. We may have a clarification. Somebody texted me and said, the caller is likely mistaken. They are likely playing a past year's TLC tonight at 8 on the network. So, Ryan, stand by. We're going to go to a break. We'll pick you up when we come back. And if somebody can clarify, I'll try and do it during the break, what's up on the app. We'll clear it up after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And here on Pearl Harbor Day, the 73rd anniversary, I just want to send out a huge shout-out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network. Very much appreciated, as always, here on the 73rd anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Quick mention, if you are looking for the latest news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, if you love this show and you only get to hear it on the weekends, you are missing out. Shows every single day for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. For just $10.99 a month, you get full access to not only the two brand new shows we do Monday through Friday. And by the way, we usually do extra shows on Saturday and Sunday as well, in addition to this program. I had an hour and a half show last night with Dave Meltzer talking all of the news on CM Punk and UFC. All of these are available for subscribers, and not only that, full access to the entire library of programming. Every show we've ever done dating back to 2005, over 6,000 hours of audio. available in our archives. You will never, ever run out of wrestling audio. As a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com, you also get full access to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly. New issues every single week. Great issue of Figure Four Weekly out this past Friday, talking all of the news in wrestling, CM Punk. I wrote an article about concussions and wrestling and so much more. All of this available, only $10.99. Check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. We also have some free feeds up there where you can listen to free audio streaming 24/7 to get a taste of what it's like when we're not here on Wrestling Observer Live. Also, a bunch of clarifications on this TLC deal. Here's the situation. If you go to the front page of the WWE app, all it says is TLC Tables, Ladders, and Chairs tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. It does not specify what year it is. If you, as a fan, opened this thing up and looked at it, you would think that tonight, TLC 2014 is airing on the WWE Network. Apparently, they are doing a replay of a previous show. And I might add, I was told by somebody in WWE that you will probably see more WWE website comedy tomorrow during the Slammies. Confirmed it is the 2013 TLC at 8 Eastern. Might want to clarify that on the front page of the app, because you would not know that if you just opened up the app.
Well, yeah, you couldn't have it tonight anyway. You need to have that great, incredibly intelligent go-home show like you've had the past couple of months of go-home shows for TLC.
Back to Cumberland, Maryland. You're on the air. What's going on?
Okay. My question is about CM Punk. Last night, Bob Cook, a former enhancement talent from WCW, pretty much challenged CM Punk to a UFC fight for his first match since. Supposedly, the rule is they can't have any prior experience if you fight Punk, so the Green Ranger would be disqualified from fighting Punk. My question is, do you think any other wrestlers besides Bob Cook or Teddy Hart would challenge CM Punk to his first UFC fight?
Oh, man.
I nominate Brian Alvarez.
I'm in the wrong weight class, but I'd do it.
No, I'm completely aware of that. I think still I have that much faith in your jiu-jitsu, and you have a wrestling background, and you're able to put butts in the seats by talking them in, which you would have to do against CM Punk. Obviously, he couldn't carry it on his own. I think you would be the perfect person.
I don't want to get in the wrestling ring, much less the UFC octagon. Meta Morris will talk. Now, listen, in all seriousness, this 0-0 record thing, that's a professional record. So CM Punk's opponent, and granted, to be fair, CM Punk has got some money, and he's probably going to go to a very good camp, and by all accounts, he's going to train his ass off, and he's going to probably come in fairly well prepared for a guy who's only been training for X number of months. Now, with that said, whoever his opponent is, having a 0-0 record, that is a professional record. His opponent may have 6, 7, 8 amateur fights. Who knows? The chances of I don't know, maybe they'll bring somebody in who's never had a fight, even in amateur competition. I find that very hard to believe. Even Ultimate Fighter, I mean, to qualify to be on the Ultimate Fighter television show, you have to have 3 amateur fights. So the idea that they're going to bring in somebody to fight on a pay-per-view who's never even had an amateur fight, I find that very hard to believe. So although they will both be going in with 0-0 records, whoever this guy is, I can almost guarantee he will have fights under his belt, which CM Punk will not have. Anybody.
Right. I don't, you know, again, I'll believe it when I see it. He's got to get through camp first, and we have to see what condition he's actually in. Here's the one thing that no one can do, and people already have. You can't blame him, because if you're going to have your first fight somewhere, why not have it in the UFC? And I know there's people that, you know, are just not Punk fans that have taken shots at him. Could you blame him for doing something like this, or for trying something like this? Why not? I mean, I thought grappling and jiu-jitsu was perfect for him in that, with his attitude and his, you know, want to, and he talked about it last night. It's not like he could sit around the house and do nothing. You know, he's going to have to do something. He's a highly competitive guy that just, you know, likes to be active. And I really thought the grappling thing would be perfect. And I still think it is, to be honest, rather than to have a fight. But who knows what happens? Maybe he's great with his hands. Maybe he can take a hell of a shot. And all of these things which are happening for him
at
the age
of 36. If he's had 13 concussions, he can't take a hell of a shot.
I know, but still, I just look. And he's 36 years old. I mean, and this, again, it's like heavyweights. Again, when it came to Batista and Lashley and Lesnar, I mean, if nothing else, when you're a bigger guy, it just seems to be, and this is for boxing, MMA, it just seems to be easier to find, I'm not saying cans, but, you know, for Kimbo Slice, there were a lot of tomato can sort of setups. But, you know, you can just find a guy that, I don't know. We'll see. Again, this is also looking to be a long way off. I know there's some people have a timetable of 6 months, and it would make sense for a lot of reasons if it is 6 months, but it could be actually, who knows, a lot longer than this. Look how many training injuries happen and everything else. So it's, again, for speculation and for fun fantasy booking, you know, you can be all into it. But outside of that, you know, what are we really actually talking about here?
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Jay in Vancouver.
What's up, Jay?
Not too much. Well, first thing I want to say is I agree with Mike there, Brian. I think you should challenge CM Punk, come down to the octagon with Thrill at the Barrels as your music, and then have Vinny and Craig in your corner. That'd be great.
Have Granny walk me down there to the ring. She can play
the
Elio Gracie role. Remember when Elio was like 100 years old and he was out there just shouting advice? We could have Granny out there.
Oh, man, you can actually still do the, you can do the Gracie walk just like that.
She'd be shouting guilt.
I would pay to see that. I would pay a lot of money to see that. But my question was actually with CM Punk signing with UFC, do you think that this is going to convince WWE to maybe push a little harder to maybe re-sign Brock Lesnar when his contract is up, or maybe even do something like sign someone like, or try to sign someone like Chael Sonnen to get a few more eyes back on them, since I think with wrestling fans right now, all eyes seem to be on CM Punk and UFC.
Well, the big problem is this network. This network is not doing great, regardless of what Vince McMahon said on that Steve Austin podcast. And the finances are no longer there, unless you want to lose money on the deal. I don't think the finances are there to make money on Brock Lesnar anymore. Brock Lesnar's old deal, you could come in and do a few pay-per-views and essentially pay off his deal. Now, with all of these shows, including WrestleMania, being available on the network, it isn't even like WrestleMania is a $54.99 purchase anymore, $59.99. It's not like people have to commit to 6 months. They only have to commit to 1 month. And so they've lowered the value of WrestleMania to $9.99. And granted, you're still going to get, I don't know, maybe 100,000 people are still going to buy it on pay-per-view that ain't paying for Brock Lesnar. So the network has changed the financial outlook of this company to such a degree that I just don't think, and here's the other thing, UFC and Bellator are both going to bid for Brock. I guarantee it. Anybody who thinks that Bellator is not going to make a play for Brock Lesnar, you're out of your mind. Bellator is going to make a big money offer, and they've got Viacom money behind them. UFC is going to make a big money offer for Lesnar. There's no way WWE is matching that offer unless they want to lose their ass, which maybe they want to do. I don't know. Maybe to them it's important enough for him not to leave that they will lose tremendous amounts of money to keep him. But I would bet you virtually anything he's out of there after the San Jose Raw the night after Mania.
Yeah, 2015's shaping up to be a rough year for WWE, I think.
Dude, it's going to be a fascinating year for us, I'll tell you that much.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it.
All those millennials that they had to figure out to, you know, something to do with those guys.
It's going to, next year, I'm telling you all, next year is going to be crazy between Bellator and UFC battling and both of them making a play for Lesnar and whatever ends up happening with CM Punk. This is the kind of thing, honest to God, I truly think that this is the sort of thing that WWE really needs. They're in a, when Vince talks about, oh, the numbers are great, Raw's holding up, blah, blah, blah. Holding up and doing great in his mind and staying steady, I mean, that's all fine and good, but that's not going to convince him to shake things up. Things have got to start to go bad for him to shake things up. And I'm not saying
competition.
Yeah, and this is competition. No matter what they say, this is competition.
Bob Arum had Don King, you know, Bellator, you know, and Scott Coker deserve credit for kind of ringing up the UFC. And obviously, for no matter what WWE wants to say, you know, the UFC and Dana White, you know, to fire them up. So there is no wrestling promotion out there. Yes, there's New Japan and they're making moves. And Ring of Honor, we talked to Adam Cole yesterday. They have the pay-per-view tonight. You know, they're there too as far as quality if they want to look that direction. But what really shakes Vince McMahon up is, you know, big promotional type of battles. And obviously it's not direct competition, but indirectly they all can pluck at each other's nerves. And that's really what they need right now. And you're exactly right. It's not going to help the in-ring product, but as far as the aesthetics, the edge, maybe, you know, cleaning up some of the things they've gotten very sloppy with, which, you know, WWE for a long time, there's nothing, you know, if you couldn't say anything else about them, they weren't sloppy. Whereas like TNA and WCW missed camera shots and this and that. WWE wouldn't do that. Well, they've even kind of reduced themselves to that. So if it's even a little bit as far as making the overall product better, not just necessarily in the ring, I'm actually all for that because they are way too back on their laurels right now. And these crappy TV shows they produce every single week, even leading into these pay-per-views, are a great example of that.
All right, to the phones. We only got a moment. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Dan from Dallas. Just want to give a sad that our hometown boy, John Hendricks, lost last night.
Man.
He did a great job here in the Dallas media. He goes to all the popular shows. He shows some good character. And plus, you know, he went to Oklahoma State University. And a lot of our top stars here in Dallas, like Dez Bryant and Dan Bailey, all of them are from that university. So it's a big tie to that university. But my question, I heard on Wednesday when you had the Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer, and you talked about how, like this week on Lucha Underground, like Pimpinella Escalante debuted, and he was like it's too early to bring this clown stuff into promotion. Like they should build what they are first.
Actually, hold on, we got to head to a break, so stand by. We'll hold you over the break. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on the show. We're going to quickly go to the phones. We've got a short segment here, but to the phones. What was your question again, my friend?
Basically, my question was on the Wrestling Observer Radio. Dave Meltzer said that, you know, having the Exoticos on this week's Lucha Underground, like he wasn't a fan. He thought that like it's too early for the Lucha to bring that sort of stuff in. Like he said that they should probably have them become popular, build their reputation before they bring these guys in, like these clown gimmicks.
Sure.
But basically, my question was, because I'm also listening, I'm a big fan of the MLW radio, and Conan says he fought to having the Exoticos and the Minis in because he wanted to have an authentic Lucha product for the American eyes. So basically, my question is, like, does Lucha Underground know what their audience wants to be? Like, do they want to get, like, the bilingual, like, Hispanic Americans, or trying to get the American audience? Like these, like, six episodes in, like, what do you think their target audience is? Is it still, or don't you know? Because they keep on bringing in these, like, very Lucha-style gimmicks that people in America don't understand, like men fighting women and these Exoticos. Like, what do you think is their target audience as a company?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. You can, I mean, first off, we'll talk about this more after the break, but you can bring in the Exoticos later and still present an authentic Lucha product prior to that. And that is by bringing a lot of luchadors and doing a lot of Lucha Libre. And then later on, you bring in the other stuff. I think that's more what Dave was trying to say, but we can talk more about this after the break. If you want to call in, 855-478-4478. Back after the top of the hour, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, cable radio network, streaming live worldwide on the internet, sportsbyline.com, wrestlingobserver.com, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, the list goes on and on. It is Sunday, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, and we've got a pay-per-view coming up in about an hour. It is the Ring of Honor Final Battle Show from New York. Hopefully I can watch the show. I tried to order it during the hourly break, and my cable provider would not let me. This kind of thing only happens to me, so I guess I'll try and figure that out during a commercial break here. May send Mike to take over the duties. Who knows? But we'll get it done. Obviously, we've got a show to talk about. Yesterday, Adam Cole, the Ring of Honor champion, or I'm sorry, former Ring of Honor champion. He may be the Ring of Honor champion at the end of this evening. We shall see.
You might get beat up for saying that.
Yeah, he was on the show yesterday talking about the pay-per-view. We're going to run down all of the matches on the show and any other further details. Obviously, if you want to give us a call tonight after the next commercial break, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. That is 855-478-4478. Phone number and everything else is up at WrestlingObserver.com. You can contact me at Brian Alvarez on Twitter. Mike is at Semper Vivi on Twitter. We monitor those throughout the show, as well as Brian at WrestlingObserver.com. Obviously, CM Punk to talk about. We haven't even really mentioned the Vince McMahon podcast with Steve Austin. Whatever is on your mind today, everybody, it is open lines here on the program. 855-478-4478. After the first break, we will be taking your calls and previewing ROH Final Battle on pay-per-view from New York City. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, my man, have I ever told you how much I hate Frontier? It's worse than Comcast these days.
Yeah, it's usually after I complain about Comcast, you'll say I have Frontier and I feel a little bit better about myself.
I'm trying to order this pay-per-view and it's 2014 and they want me to call an 877 number.
Why don't you just go to ROHWrestling.com?
That may be next.
$24.95, I believe it is, ordering it online.
Well, that's the price on the television as well. I may just have to order it on ROHWrestling.com.
Cut out the middleman.
My other option is I'm going to call this cable company here on the air.
You know what? I would actually be all for that. I know a guy, believe it or not.
I did that once. Remember, I called to try and get my money back from that one pay-per-view, that TNA pay-per-view that sucked so bad?
Yes, I do remember that. I actually know a guy that when like the cable goes out, you know, go out for spurts, he will actually write down the time. And even if it's like, you know, mostly it's minutes, but sometimes, you know, it'll be down to the second. He'll have it where he will fight them to get that back and prorate it. And he's usually such a pain in the ass that he actually gets away with it and does that. If you have that kind of stick-to-itiveness, you should stick it to Frontier.
I don't have the time to waste my time
over this
to get a couple of bucks. No, they've screwed me so many times. If I really cared enough, I'd be a multimillionaire now, I'm sure.
Can you get a dish where you are?
Double charge for pay-per-views. It doesn't matter. It's every one of these companies. If I got Dish Network, it would be the same thing.
This is a perfect reason to just move the middleman out of the way. Don't give any money to them whatsoever. Don't let them get a cut of it. Just order it online.
Maybe coming. Let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Hello there.
He's a Frontier customer,
there
too.
There we go. What's up?
Question. Does Ring of Honor plan on having higher than normal production values on this pay-per-view tonight since it's on actual pay-per-view?
I don't know.
Any idea?
I saw a picture of the inside of the venue. I didn't see. This was very early in the morning, so I'm not sure if they had started to hang everything yet in terms of a lighting grid or something like that. I heard the building was really sweet. That was the word that I got.
Okay. They're going to do five.
Listen, here's the thing. They're going to do the best they can. They always do. And hopefully it'll be better than usual, but who knows?
Yeah, and this is a brand new place for them. And obviously they've gotten some sort of tip off. And I'm sure there's been concerts there, but I don't know. you know, Ring of Honor gets much maligned for its production values when it comes to the TV show, and deservedly so. I mean, there is a very old feel to those shows with lights. And, you know, if you go to those shows and have those lights in your eyes, it's terrible. It doesn't come across well on TV. But I think they do a pretty good job when it comes to their pay-per-views. And I think they'll be a little bit at the mercy of this building. And I guess we'll all find out for the first time how it looks, because nobody's run there before.
Right, right. That makes sense. All right. Well, I'm going to give it a shot regardless, so we'll see.
I'd give it a shot. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah, I think so. It says 7:30. Does it start at 7:30, or is there...
Well, they'll have like a half-hour pre-show type deal.
Okay, gotcha.
No, brutal Bob Evans and Cheeseburger and the pre-show match. I don't know if we're going to be able to see it or not.
Oh, really? How about
friend of the
that?
Show.
How about that? I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I think I am going to cut out the middleman here. I mean, this is beyond ridiculous at this point that I can't order a pay-per-view on the television.
They obviously don't want your money.
Hey, if they don't want my money, I'm not going to give it to them. I have no problem with that, even though I've given them way too much in the past. Let's talk about this show. Adam Cole is in the main event. He, of course, was a guest on the program yesterday. He is facing Jay Briscoe for the title in a fight without honor. That is the main event of the show here tonight. They've had several battles. They had a ladder match. When was that? WrestleMania weekend, I believe I was there for that that ladder match. So I would be surprised if it was not a great match. Any predictions here, Mike?
Yeah, it's going to be a great match. I will go with Jay Briscoe. It blew me away. What did Adam say? 16, 18? How long have they been feuding now? Whatever it's been a long time. And obviously you had Michael Elgin in the middle of that. I think, you know, for me, if hindsight was 2020, and I know there were a lot of people who Michael Elgin should have gotten the belt long before that, I thought Adam Cole was doing such a great job as champion, and it's nothing against Michael Elgin, that I would have kept the title on him for longer. But obviously they had all those situations take place and everything. But, you know, Cole and Briscoe has been... It's been one of the feuds of the year. You know, we're coming up on Observer Newsletter Awards time, and, you know, there's been talk over, well, what was the feud of the year? This can make a case for it, and they have been great together. I'd be great if Adam Cole was the ROH champion. He did a great job as champion. He carries himself well. They have him look the part, with the suits and everything. I think he comes across fantastic. I just think Jay Briscoe, I would keep rolling with him right now. I don't know what would be next for either guy. I don't even want to think about that. But I just know this match is going to be really good. And if they can figure out a way to continue having it go on, I'd be fine with that too, because they are great with each other.
All right. I'm going to read some tweets here. Sempervivi's microphone is clicking a lot. And so I'm going to try to get that fixed here very quickly. And in the meantime, I'll read some of these tweets, and then we will come back here and redo our preview, or at least continue on with this preview here. Somebody had actually sent out a tweet about the venue. This is from Skill Crane. He says that Terminal 5 is an awesome venue. Great upper deck, and they put the ring in the middle. If they put the ring in the middle, it will be even better. All right, Mike, are you there, my friend?
I am indeed. Do I sound a little bit better now?
There's a terrible clicking on your end, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but maybe we can try and get it fixed during the break. In the meantime, let's run to the phones real quick. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
What's up, Brian and Mike? It's Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas.
Chris, what's up?
Oh, man. Feeding horses, splitting wood, trying to get all my chores done so I can watch Final Battle here in a little bit.
That sounds like a manly day.
Yes. Very manly. I hope so.
Are you excited for the show tonight?
Yes, I am. But that's not exactly why I called. I called because I heard y'all talking earlier before the top of the last hour about WWE needing a shake-up with all this. They're kind of in a lull right now, and there's a lot of, you know, CM Punk signing with UFC and a lot of stuff going on in New Japan. And I've been watching New Japan all week because I got the new streaming service. And it's really hitting me over the head, just like this mall I've been using to split wood. Just the difference in the styles between WWE and New Japan and how formulaic WWE is. And I think they really do need a shake up in the style, too, and just let these guys go out there and have different matches. You know, it's so formulaic. It's back and forth in the beginning of the matches, and then, you know, you got to the heel gets the heat on somebody for a little while, and then maybe it's on TV, there's a big high spot for a commercial break, come back from the break, it's more heat, and then come back, and then it's just so routine.
And they need 26 riders to come up with that.
That's right.
Exactly.
When New Japan needs, two, Jado and Gato, that's all of it, the only people they need to come up with the stuff that they have.
All I know is that I was watching SmackDown this Friday night. Oh, I was ready to just tear my hair out. Not just the formulaic matches and everything like that, but the first match, I'm watching Dolph Ziggler and Luke Harper, and it is a rather formulaic match, but they actually worked very hard, and it was starting to get pretty good, and then Luke Harper just kicks him low for the DQ. And I was just, and that's in the opening match. I was losing my mind. I'm so sick of disqualifications on these shows. Every single show, it's not even like a good DQ. It's just like, we couldn't think of anything else. We didn't want to beat either guy. We couldn't even come up with another match where we could beat somebody. So we just throw this match together. And by the way, I could have sworn I saw this exact same match last Friday. And here I am watching it again on Friday.
Did that one go to a no contest? Because that's the only other variation on that finish.
I can't even remember what the terrible finish was last week, but we got another terrible finish this week. And it's just, it's grating to me. Probably like my ranting right now about how much it sucks.
Yeah, and I watched the World Tag League.
Actually, hold on. Stand by. We're going to go to a break. We'll pick you up when we come back. We can talk more Japan and get in a good mood. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here today talking all sorts of different topics, CM Punk, New Japan, the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, which is starting in 35 minutes. And by the way, everybody, do not forget, this coming week, the new NXT iPay-per-view, I guess you could call it. It is a free big show on the WWE Network, complete with the Sami Zayn-Adrian Neville match for the title, where if Sami Zayn doesn't win, he's out of here, he says. Not to mention the debut in WWE of the former Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, debuting on the NXT show this coming Wednesday night. So make sure you check that out. And Thursday night, actually. And we're going to run back to the phones right here. We're talking New Japan. What's going on?
Man, I just like we were talking about earlier, the formulaic nature of WWE. And I watched that New Japan show today, and there was not any match that was the same as the one before it. And it speaks volumes about kind of how stale WWE is. Now, I know they have some really good matches and all that, but it's just so predictable. And I haven't even watched WWE all week since his New Japan streaming service came out, and because I haven't really wanted to. It's so boring, so monotonous. The same.
It's amazing that the WWE thinks they're being cute when they do booking and they have the half hour opening of the show where just people are talking, and they try to do these non finishes and this, that, and the other, and a bunch of nonsense. Where, you know, and they've come across with very, very bland programming and stuff that people can see coming, whereas New Japan is actually still treating it in more of a pure sports build. And the excitement comes in the little details that the guys do and the little tweaks in what they're doing inside the ring. And WWE is just making it, we talked about it a million times, it's not that difficult. It's not that hard to sometimes. And they again, it's all about all of these other things besides building up to what people want to see. It's why people are just tuning out altogether. They're not even getting upset about it, about how somebody's treated or the story or this or that. They're just turning it off altogether or turning on football on Monday nights, and that's not good.
You know, one other thing is that it's only going to get worse in the sense that all of the guys that are starting out in developmental right now, if they're not being taken from somewhere else or have experience elsewhere, they're all being taught the exact same style. I mean, this formulaic match that you're talking about right now, they're all going to be like that someday. When the veterans are gone that do actually work somewhat of a different style, when those guys are out of here, I mean, it's going to be a bunch of clones, all with the same sort of physique, the same sort of look, the same sort of scripted talking style, the same sort of matches in the ring. It is not going to be good. And I don't know how to turn that around. I mean,
They need new eyes. It's, you know, we've in all of the CM Punk stuff, nobody's called in to talk about Vince McMahon this past Monday night, where it was a, unfortunately, he doesn't want to hear this, but it's true, an old, out-of-touch man. And I don't blame the CEO of WWE for being a little bit old and out of touch. It's he's not getting any challenges from anybody else. His inner circle, they're all well, you know, insulated from some of the realities of what's going on and how they are being perceived by the average fan. And I know they're still going to sell merchandise. There's still going to be a lot of good things. WWE is not going out of business anytime soon, you know, if ever at this point. But that doesn't mean that you actually have something that people want to see. And again, you know, we're still invested in this from the 80s. You know, the people coming up, is this just going to be some sort of Harlem Globetrotters traveling sideshow where you come see the circus in town, you know, once a year when it comes, but you don't have that much, you know, invested into the product emotionally? Because that's what's happening right now, and they've done nothing to try to make anything better. They are one John Cena injury away from big-time problems. And yes, they have Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns is coming back. Daniel Bryan may come back. There's guys there. But as a whole, what else do you have? You don't have much.
I've got... we should go back through this this final battle here and keep moving through the card. This does take place in 30 minutes, everybody. The countdown is on. We've got a tag team title match for the ROH tag team titles. Red Dragon, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly facing the Time Splitters of Alex Shelley and Kushida. That match should be awesome. I don't know where Mike went. I will continue on. Jay Lethal and Matt Sydal in a singles match. Are you
I'm
there?
Here.
What happened?
I don't know. Damn mute button, but Red Dragon.
Red Dragon. Jay Lethal, Matt Sydal for the ROH World Television title. Lethal was on the show 2 weeks ago. Great performer. This match, Matt Sydal, for those of you unaware, is the former Evan Bourne of WWE. He's now with Ring of Honor. That match should also be awesome. Maybe a new TV champion. Who knows? But I expect a great match there. Roderick Strong and Adam Page singles match. Ed seems to suspect that Roderick Strong is going to absolutely destroy Adam Page. I would... I don't know if that's... I don't know if it's going to be a complete destruction, but I would expect that Roderick wins. Because obviously,
with Sydal and Roderick here,
he's going to be feuding with the rest of the decade here, since that that group has been blown asunder. So it makes sense for him to go through Adam Page on the way up. Moose and Artie Evans, what a battle that'll be!
The winners are the fans.
I'll say, Michael Elgin, Tommaso Ciampa in a battle for who is the craziest guy in the company, either in real life or in storyline. As well as the Young Bucks in ACH versus Daniels, Kazarian, and Cedric Alexander. And a four-way with Jimmy Jacobs, Hansen, Mark Briscoe, and Caprice Coleman. And Mike, you mentioned that Cheeseburger and Brutal Bob are going to be in the opener. Is that correct?
That is correct. I cannot remember exactly who they're facing. I'll have to try to find that again. But as I do, I'll just ask this openly. Has the Addiction nickname really kind of taken on anything for Daniels and Kazarian?
What do you mean, taking on anything?
Well, you know, the Jacksons, you know, are the Young Bucks and, you know, the Briscoe Brothers and Time Splitters and Red Dragon. I don't know if the Addiction is the right name for Daniels and Kazarian, although I know they want to sell themselves as your tag team wrestling Addiction. I don't think the nickname's really taken off right now.
I don't think so. Everybody remembers them by their TNA names. So, yeah, I don't know about the Addiction. I do expect top to bottom this will be a very, very good show. And they did very well the last time they ran pay-per-view. And that was with a show that was not nearly as well promoted. It was not nearly as big a show as this one. It did about 12,000 buys. And keep in mind there at the end, TNA was doing about 8,000 buys. And so as we talked about yesterday, ROH is right now the number two wrestling promotion here in the United States. May end up being number three behind Lucha Underground, depending on the viewership and how things go with that promotion. But I think it's safe to say right now ROH is number two.
BJ Whitmer and Mikey Webb is who Brutal Bob and Cheeseburger, Brutal Burgers, will be facing. Mikey Webb wrestles up in New England for Chaotic and all the indies up there.
That's right. I got an email here from Edward. Not that Edward. A different
Thank
Edward.
God.
He has sent me a picture of tonight's WWE house show, and it is certainly not at the level of a TNA house show. Don't get me wrong. The floor area is pretty much full, but the lower bowl looks to be maybe half full, and everything else is tarped off. Not a good crowd at all. And John Cena is scheduled to be headlining in Greenville, North Carolina, here this evening. So I don't want to sit here on this show and try to give people the impression that the sky is falling. The world is ending in terms of WWE. Their guys are going to UFC, and the shows are boring, and blah, blah, blah. Trust me, in 2 months, we're probably going to be here on this show, and all we'll be talking about is WWE, because it's going to be the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania period, which is always the hottest period of the year. A lot of guys are going to be coming back. They're going to be shooting a lot of angles. It's going to be very, very interesting again. I mean, this happens every year at this time. Last year at this time, the promotion was horrible with all of the stuff with Daniel Bryan, just killing the guy dead pay-per-view after pay-per-view. It's not the end of the world, everybody. But if you are dismayed by the product of late, which I am, there are a lot of opportunities to watch other things out there. Ring of Honor, the New Japan at njpwworld.com. If you can figure out how to sign up, there's tons of great stuff up there. There's even TNA returning to Destination America. They're having a full makeover. They're going to have a new announce crew. They're going to have a new logo. They're going to try to really shake things up. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but they're trying to do something different. You've got Lucha Underground. There's so much stuff out there if you're a disgruntled fan.
It kind of becomes a joke on this show when it comes to the women's wrestling, but all of those groups are available. Dragon Gate USA is available. Evolve, the Gabe Sapolsky promotions, which if you go to WWNLive.com, you can see a bunch of different stuff there too. The options are there. You know, New Japan costs about $8.50 when it's converted over from the 999 yen. You know, Lucha Underground's free on two different channels. CMLL is available online and on, you know, what a lot of people have as far as their basic cable on Unimas and on Azteca America. So there's stuff there, and there's a lot of different stuff out there where, yes, this is not the 70s or the 80s again when it comes to the territories, but there's options out there with guys that are doing stuff that they don't want to be in WWE, or they don't want to look like WWE. They're doing their own thing. So if you're not happy with WWE, there's still a ton of other stuff out there, and CM Punk fighting in UFC.
To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Chris in Las Vegas.
What's up, Chris?
Brian, how many times did Vince McMahon say on his podcast, "Well, I listen to the fans"? Well, Vince, did you know your fans are bored at your shows and we chant random things because they are bored, and your shows look like a 1998-99 WCW Nitro where everything is a DQ, everything is an interference, and nothing matters? You're heading down that road, and what are you going to do to fix it? And you'd say that WrestleMania is exciting. I am not excited about WrestleMania this year. I'm excited that things coming as for that, but as a whole, I don't see where the excitement lies. Are you actually looking forward to something in WrestleMania this year besides Sting?
Well, it's too early. I mean, we got to wait until they really start building up some matches. I mean, right now I'm not, but I don't think I was all that excited last year at this time either.
Really? I knew Dan. They were
well, especially
do
going into January too. I mean, you know, things weren't really sorted till after that.
Chris,
I was going to say with Daniel Bryan, yeah.
What's happening over there with your phone? Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. With I knew that they had that Daniel Bryan thing, but I was pretty sure that he was going to end up main event, even though they toyed with us the whole way there. But they listened to us, and then as soon as he got his moment, I never felt he was like the man.
Well, I hate to say it, but you should have known that going in. They weren't going to make him the man. That wasn't their choice.
Vince listens to his audience, right?
Well, he's not listening to you, clearly. He's listening to the people that love Roman Reigns.
Who are they?
Well, you know
I
what?
I love Roman Reigns.
Let me tell you something.
He's got great hair and
Roman
he's big,
Reigns,
okay?
Roman Reigns has, in fact, been selling a lot of merchandise.
Chicks do dig him.
There are a lot of Roman Reigns fans out there. I know the hardcores. It is inevitable. The hardcores are going to turn on him. But he is.
They have killed him dead with those promos on Raw.
Though, hey, listen, I'm not going to argue with that. Those promos on Raw suck. This guy is a charismatic guy, but when you give him stuff to read and he just has to recite it, it's no good.
Smiling and happy.
Yeah, who wants a smiling and happy baby face? Ridiculous. Well, Chris, I want to thank you very much for the call. We're going to head to commercial here. When we come back, more phone calls, emails, all that good stuff. Check it out. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Saturday Pacific Time, 1 Eastern, as well as Sundays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Replays Monday morning on Sports Byline USA at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. And, of course, we are available on Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Byline USA, the American Forces Network here on Pearl Harbor Day, the 73rd anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network. We are available on the Cable Radio Network, streaming online at WrestlingObserver.com, as well as SportsByline.com, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, all over the world. And of course, for the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always check out WrestlingObserver.com. I am up there every day, two shows a day exclusively for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 per month. You get brand new shows every single solitary day, plus every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in the archives. That is over 6,000 hours of audio in the archives. WWE Network only has 2,500 hours. We have over double the amount of archived content as the WWE Network. If you love audio, no better place in the world as a wrestling fan than WrestlingObserver.com. And if you like this show, I guarantee you'll love a subscription. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also read The Observer, Figure Four Weekly. We got archives of both newsletters. So much great stuff up there. It is the best Christmas gift imaginable for the wrestling fan in your life. So check out WrestlingObserver.com. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Brian. How are you? It's Larry Buchholter.
Larry, what's going on?
How are you? I was looking online yesterday, and there was an article that came out in the November 30th edition of the Miami Herald. Jim Varshalone, and he was commenting on CM Punk's interview with Colt Cabana on Colt Cabana's program.
Yes.
And CM Punk or Phillip Brooks was talking about the need for a union in the wrestling business. And journalist seemed to be saying that unions would hurt wrestling or would hurt the business. I would tend to strongly agree with CM Punk because I want to see the wrestlers want to see the performers get paid well. I want to see them get health benefits. I don't want to have them have to work, you know, day in, day out and put themselves at risk for injury. I do enjoy the work that they do, but I want them to be able, I think it's far more important for them to not have to risk themselves and to be able to not only have economic security, and be able to protect their health and protect their families in the long run. I want my performers to have a long life, and I want to appreciate them not only as performers but also as people outside of the wrestling profession. And I want to see them have the opportunity to share in the profit, you know, do some of the profit sharing. And perhaps have the wrestlers have their own collective someday. But I can't understand why this this journalist, and I don't know if you or Mike know who he is, but he seems to be saying that it's going to hurt wrestling because you're not going to be able to, may not be able to see wrestling on a week-to-week basis or on a day-to-day basis.
Well, he's very close to the WWE. If I'm not mistaken, he has had articles up on WWE.com. He has always taken the WWE's kind of side in things when he does write it. If I recall correctly, it certainly got that kind of lean to it. I think the interesting thing, if you want to bring up something about CM Punk, yes, he did say all of those things. He is now going into an organization where people also believe that they should have union representation. They just inked a deal with Reebok to make them the sole sponsor of fighters in the UFC, and it's going to be good for a lot of fighters in this tiered system that they have, because they are struggling for sponsors right now. But, you know, you're taking away the sponsors, many of them who have been there a long time for those guys. You know, it's kind of ironic. Somebody pointed out that Brock Lesnar's wrestling in WWE when no one else was allowed to have sponsors, and he's got sponsors on him because he was in the UFC, which is now not allowing any sponsors except for the ones that they have. I think wrestlers have historically been just basically stupid, and they have been foolish, and they always say it's not going to happen to me. And I think if you're a hardcore libertarian-minded person, yeah, I can see where unions get in the way. And I'm not saying unions are perfect, but I think with the positions that professional wrestlers have been in over the years, and because so many of them have problems on the way out, I'm not even saying you have to have an official union, but think about if every wrestler just kicked back a little bit of money, especially the ones right now, and it went to, say, the Cauliflower Alley Club, who could actually, I mean, and I'm just using this as a name, you know, to put a name on it. I don't mean the Cauliflower Alley Club, but someone to actually be there so they can have a little bit of stipend of money later, even if it's very, very little. They can have a little bit of a stipend of money. They can get health care. There can be, you know, basically the guys taking care of each other. And I know that's not the mindset of a professional wrestler and what it's historically been all about. But my God, you know, look at these guys. You know, I know there's legends reunions from around the country and guys get to see each other, but I think more needs to be done, especially as these guys are making the money that they're making right now, to kick back for some of the guys who are older. And I know, why should I have to take care of somebody else? I just think with how it's been in professional wrestling, somebody should do something. And you know, the WWE, when they go to towns, they have to use unions. You know, it's one of the issues. UFC's had it with the union in New York, which is stopping them and has been a headache for them trying to get in. WWF has to use union guys when they go to these arenas. There's a certain number of guys they have to use. It should be, again, the wrestlers need to do something. And again, even if it's not an official, you know, type of union, just something where they can kind of give back to each other, because there's just been, I know it's not going to happen to me, but it just seems to happen way too often. Surgeries are expensive when you have no income and you're broken down. You know, Jimmy Del Rey just passed away. You know, he went for as long as he could, and his body broke down. And I don't know how he passed away or anything, but he was, again, a relatively
young guy. I believe
it was
actually a car accident.
Well, what about the people that I really like as people that are in the business, and I really want to help them? Because I think that they're really, you know, because, you know, I'm impressed with, you know, with their personality. I'm impressed with how they carry themselves in interviews and how they interact well with fans. And how can I do something to help? I know that Bret Hart was a strong proponent of unions a few years ago. And from what I have read, and I don't know these people, you understand, but from what I've read, he was largely poo-pooed by the rest of the people in the wrestling business. They,
well, you know, let me jump in and say something here real quick.
Anything I can do to help?
The issue is that the current locker room is petrified. They're all terrified for their jobs, and there's no way that they are all going to band together in an attempt to form a union. It's just not going to happen. I mean, the best that you can do, especially if it's a guy on the current roster, I mean, most of the guys on the current roster are making a pretty good living. So, you know, it's not like maybe some of the lower card guys, you could kind of help them out. You can help anybody out by buying their merchandise, because they're going to get a cut. If you really like Roman Reigns, for example, you can purchase his merchandise and he will get a cut of that. As far as Mike noted, you can always contribute to the Cauliflower Alley Club. That's the best way to kind of help some of the older wrestlers. It's not really the modern-day WWE guys that right now need a lot of help, but if you do want to help them, buy their merchandise.
And we also don't know what's going to happen to those guys when they're 55 years old, you know, and they don't have a chance to work. And I'm not... This really, there's not a lot of guys making lots and lots of money where I can see them going, look, I don't want to spare it. But as far as the guys in WWE, and again, it will take, you know, a Mick Foley type of minded person and some people with some money to try to do something so people can get insurance later on, you know, and things like that. Again, it's there should be more evolution as far as these guys and getting them investments and possibly.
Well, WWE does do that. I mean, WWE.
I know, but I mean, as far as if you're not, I know some with the WWE, but it should just be more widespread. And like you're trying to get guys into Hollywood so they can get their SAG card and have insurance benefits and things like that. I mean, I know WWE, they did. Look, WWE does a lot for people as far as paying for scholarships. They do a lot of things that they don't, you know, obviously the Make-A-Wish stuff gets hyped up and the stuff they want to push, like the, you know, the bullying campaign and things like that. But they do a lot of people for, you know, a lot for people behind the scenes. I just think it's the guys who are making serious money now and who have made serious money. So I just think there should be more organization as far as trying to help people out and extend hands because,
well,
again, we do see a lot of bad stories and, you know, you can't babysit everybody, but there should be more organization okay. this far along the line.
But hold on. So the problem with this is that there are Bruno Sammartinos who retired in the mid... I mean... He was doing stuff on TV until like the mid-80s, but he effectively retired prior to that. And it is 2014, and he's doing fine because he saved his money during his career. And a lot of guys didn't save any money during their career. And what's the difference between them and Bruno Sammartino? We can talk about this more after the break. It's a very complicated topic. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And don't forget, in 3 minutes, on traditional pay-per-view, the ROH Final Battle Show, Adam Cole in the main event against Jay Briscoe for Jay Briscoe's ROH World Heavyweight title, a bunch of other great matches as well that's coming up in 3 minutes. So head over to your television, order the show, and enjoy some classic pro wrestling. Don't forget, later on this week, there is the NXT special on Thursday night. Sami Zayn in the main event against Adrian Neville for the NXT title. If Sami Zayn loses, he's out of here, he says. And tomorrow, Mike, it is, in fact, the Slammy Awards. Are you excited?
I've been waiting all year for this.
Oh, yeah?
Of course I have. And you know the fact that Brock Lesnar was actually originally booked on this shows you how stupid they are. When you have Brock Lesnar with limited dates, he would have to be on there. You know, not Paul Heyman, not anybody else. They were going to waste a date of Paul or Brock Lesnar at the Slammies.
That's right. Brock Lesnar will not be on the Slammies tomorrow, everybody. He is being moved to the Monday after, the day after the pay-per-view, since the pay-per-view match is John Cena and Seth Rollins, and if John Cena loses, he is no longer the number one contender. But if he wins, and this was the plan, so we'll see if plans change, as they say, it'll be John Cena versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE title at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view coming up in January. WrestleMania season kicking off with the Royal Rumble, the most exciting time of the year. And soon, we'll be telling you, the listeners, about an exciting addition to this program coming up around Royal Rumble and WrestleMania season. It's going to be very exciting. I'd like to thank everybody at Sports Byline, as always. Scott, Darren, everybody there. Mike Sempervivi, as always. All of the folks listening right now around the world. Back later on tonight at WrestlingObserver.com for more. We'll talk to you guys again next week here on Sports Byline. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.